everyone.
And actually, I love creation and God, and you obviously know that I love creation because I'm studying it. And I want to share with you what I learned this week. And actually, by watching something, that mountain gorillas sing while they eat. Now, you've got to marvel at a God who creates such broad, lovely things, and this enjoyment in species that just enjoy eating. This morning, I'd love to welcome Mark Thomas, who's come to do the talk.
Let's pray. Father, you are indeed a gracious God, and we love to worship you. And we just, Father, we're not fantastic singers, but we know that you take delight in worship that comes from the heart. So, Father, we ask that you touch us by your Holy Spirit this morning. We want to give you worship from our hearts, to worship in spirit and in truth. And, Father, we thank you so much that you are here this morning with us by your Spirit. We thank you that you remain with us throughout the week by your Spirit. We ask that you'd strengthen us as we fellowship together this morning, and that you would make us hearers of your word this morning, and having heard, that we would do whatever it is you prompt us to do from what we hear. So, Lord, we commit this time to you and ask that you would... Well, we want you to take pleasure in it, Lord, really. In Jesus' name, amen. I will proclaim the glory of the risen Lord, who once was slain to reconcile man to God. Father, we just... Oh, Lord, we are so dependent upon that grace, that act of reconciliation in Jesus. Father, we thank you for the forgiveness we receive because of what Jesus has done. Father, we come to you this morning conscious of our imperfections. Lord, we may not have done anything that appears to be drastically awful this week, but Father, we haven't always been obedient to you. Father, there will be times when we have not dealt with wrong thoughts in the right way. There'll be times, Father, when perhaps we've spoken out of turn, or not spoken when you have prompted us to do so. Father, for these things that we have done, and for the things that we haven't done in obedience to you, Father, forgive us. Through the precious blood of Jesus, we ask. And indeed, we know, Father, that you promise that forgiveness as long as our repentance is sincere. You promise to separate our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, the only way we can really repay you is with our love. Father, help us to love you more. Holy Spirit, strengthen us and inspire us. Fill us anew. Renew us in our spirits and in our minds, that we might love the Father ever more, day by day, and respond in obedience to all that you call upon us to do. Amen. Ian's going to come and read to us Psalm 91.
Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the foulest snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
We can have our second reading, which is from Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. This passage is talking about worship. Now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. In its first room were the lampstand and the table with its consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered into the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and the sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshipper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, so obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died, as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Thanks be to God. And I'm going to hand over to Mark now.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's very good to see you.
It was. I'm glad you mentioned the gorillas. Creation is quite remarkable, as we all know, and we're all agreeing. And we're waiting for the sudden burst of warmth to bring the rest of spring into view, I'm sure. I came by boat this morning from Wharton, and actually living now on waterfront property, which the value has gone up. But what I saw the last little while is a gathering of starlings. You've seen it recently?
Yes.
Remarkable. Near the bird sanctuary, Silverdale, near the neck of the roses. I know it's way south from you, but near Arnside, they've been gathering in the evenings, and it is phenomenal. I just find it incredible that they can do all those weavings just without banging into each other. We have trouble, excuse me, don't we, when we're sort of getting a cup of tea, we knock each other's cups over. But these birds, I mean, God has given them a GPS and radar system beyond understanding. The way they weave, and which one gives the word to get up and go? And I can be in Wharton and see, ah, they're heading, and I see a few birds starting to gather in the tree, and they seem to know exactly where to go, when to get there. Amazing. Do you find that amazing?
Yes.
Good, I'm glad you're excited. Well, it so happened that, and it seems each time I've come, obviously you have so many people come and speak, that you don't always know or remember what the person said before, so probably I could come and do the same message and you wouldn't have, you wouldn't know. But actually, I was reading at that time, not that long ago, in the last few weeks, a passage that we looked at here, I think last year sometime when I was here. And a word struck me. Did you ever find that when you're reading something, it doesn't necessarily have to be the Bible. Oh, that's fascinating. And so I began to look at it. And you can probably guess by what we've sung this morning and by what you see, something that we're going to talk about. Is it windows? Is it spring, sunshine, which we haven't seen much of? Well, I'm going to progress through it and ask you a question. Somebody's cottoned on. If you ask the family, hey, would you mind sending us a photograph? Is this the kind of photograph you'd want? Yes or no? No. You want a real photograph. But this is a real photograph, isn't it? But it's not good enough, is it? Hello? I'm sorry, you're in trouble this morning, because if you're asleep, I'm going to wake you up. I'm going to ask you some questions. I tend to do that. You don't mind, do you?
No.
Yes, you do, I know, but you don't mind. You wouldn't want this picture as a representation of your family or somebody else's family. Oh, send us a picture. You want something else. So, I think you do guess what we're looking at, because actually we've sung. Yeah. Shadows. We find the word in the Bible. And you know one and you probably know some others, so I'm going to ask you. Anybody know where we find it? Think about it. Is that a shadow?
Yes.
What is it a shadow of?
Hands.
Yeah, I mean, what's it supposed to be? What's he trying to communicate? Either a dog or a cat or something. But actually, it's not. It's a shadow of hands. However, what's this then? What do you think that is? So it is a cat. It is, that was a shadow of a real thing. What about this one then? That's pretty plain, isn't it? So shadows come from light representing something or on something. It's reflected or just passes by, as you know, interrupts the light. Scary shadows. Do you remember as a child? Oh, Dad, Mum, that. Because there's something there that can be quite frightening. Yes or not? You don't experience that. Maybe we do now too, don't we?
Yes.
That's sort of humorous, scary, isn't it? Totally unaware. But then this is maybe even more so. That is fear, isn't it? Do you ever get afraid in here? Not in here, but you know what I mean. Do you ever get afraid? No?
Yes.
We do, don't we? Because we don't know about something. And that's why when you look at that, you think, well, then there's a shadow. I have no idea.
But there's fear there from a shadow. So you can have scary shadows. You know, they're also, I would say, shadows can be fun, can't they? We smile when we look at some pictures that represent something, but are quite clever. This one in particular, I thought it was quite hilarious. Isn't that clever? So it conjures up something in your mind of what it is, and we have these shadows. And this one is clever, isn't it? Isn't that good? It is people, but representing something, and that's delightful. There are also shadows that are fascinating. And colourful. I mean, isn't that intriguing, the one on the left, top left? What is it? They're camels, aren't they? Depending on where the light is. And this one here is beautiful. And when you think about it, you go, these great buildings or churches, and you're on the outside, you look at a window and it looks pretty drab, doesn't it? And dark. But go inside, and the light shining through those windows, you get beauty, don't you? And here we have something reflected or shadowed onto the ground. And then this one has its own beauty. How about this one? And I'm going to point something out later, but keep that in your mind's eye for a moment or two, or during the rest, and if you recall this. But then, how about biblical shadows? We sang one about one this morning, and we also read about one. Can you give me any places in the Bible? Now it comes down to serious thinking, doesn't it? Where in the Bible do we find a mention of shadows?
The shadow of your wing.
The shadow of your wing, yeah.
91. Wasn't it Psalm 91?
Psalm 91. The shadow of the Almighty. You were listening, were you? As you read the first verse of Psalm 91. Under the shadow of the Almighty. Does that ring any bells about reading a book or remembering something from many years ago that took place in South America? A book written because of the five men who were with MAF, The Shadow of the Almighty, written by the wives of the men who were martyred by the Indians, the Auk Indians. Okay. It's a fascinating story, and the story has gone on since. Under the shadow of the Almighty? Was that a great event? Well, in human terms, a tragedy. But in God's economy, a remarkable thing. And for a wife to write with others the story of that which brought death, but brought life. Remarkable. Anybody else got any others? So we've got shadow of the Almighty and the shadow of the wing.
Shadow of the things to come.
Chapter and verse. Shadow of things to come. Right, we're going to look at something else in a moment.
In Acts, I can't remember exactly where Phocaine wants to be under the shadow of Peter.
Yeah.
You know, for the healing of God to come on.
Right. Actually, we've got that's spot on. Any others?
Mary was overshadowed by Gabriel.
Yes, good, by the Spirit of God.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, there's that. Let's look at a few. And we speak of what? Very often. We talk about being under the shadow of the cross. But actually, that's not in the Bible. It doesn't say under the shadow of the cross, but it's a great phrase. It's a wonderful thing. And I've come across a picture which I really found fascinating. which I want to show you shortly. Literal shadows. And there are literal shadows in the Bible. For instance, in Acts chapter 5, verse 15, that is the one that's mentioned there, that they wanted to be under Peter's shadow, that they might be healed. A remarkable thing. But that's a literal shadow of him as he walked by, as he passed by. I don't know if you've played the game when you were young, but we played the game with, oh, I did one, our children, this a couple of years ago now, let's say 35, when our two were quite small, and we went down the drive from the hook from Tipton Ray down to get the bus or the taxi. And we play a game, springtime, and the sun shining behind our backs, and you'd have our shadows would be on the road. And we'd play that game. And you'd jump on the shadow. You ever do that?
Yes.
It's fun. But you jumped. But what did you think they did, my children, if they got on my shadow? What did they do once they jumped on the shadow?
They disappeared,
don't
they? Their shadow disappeared.
Their shadow disappeared, it's true. But what did they do?
Jumped off.
I could move and they'd jump on, but when they got my shadow, where would they look? To the real thing. From the shadow to the real thing. So bear that in mind too. Remember the shadow of that flower, and remember looking from the shadow to the real thing. In Acts chapter 5, is exactly right. It's this reference. As a result, people brought their sick into the streets and laid them on their beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them and be as he passed by. Remarkable, right? I wonder if people were healed. Something must have been happening, but it doesn't tell us. God wisely doesn't say more. And in fact, what does Isaiah 38:7-8 say? It's actually a reference to something in the book of Kings with regard to a king called Hezekiah. Because he asked for a sign. What was the sign? The shadow would go forward, and it went backwards as well. A shadow on the steps. They're literal shadows, but then we think of Psalm 144, verse 4. What does that say? Save you having to look it up. Man is like a breath. His days are like a fleeting shadow. Amazing the way the Bible uses pictures to tell us something that is so real. Is life going fast for you? Doesn't it go quickly? We don't see our grandchildren that often. But now the son of my son, not the son who jumped on my shadow years ago, but his son, I cannot believe he's 14. Where is it gone? And maybe you say the same. Just like that. Life is a shadow. But actually, we have something fantastic about the scriptures that tell us life is a shadow, but there's something real, very real, to come. Yes? If it's just a shadow, and in one sense that's exactly what we are, but in another sense, we have a future that goes beyond the shadows. The scriptures capture for us beautiful truths that go deep into our hearts and remind us of something very special in terms of our creation, our Creator, and the life that we have, not just now, but to come. Man is like a fleeting shadow, passes quickly. And as we age, we know those who age with us are gone, but not gone forever. It's very sobering in many ways, isn't it? Life without God. We read in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 78 and 79. because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Death is a very real thing, isn't it? We can't hold it back. And we live in its shadow. And God, we know, as it says there, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness. And where there's light comes into darkness, shadows appear. But this is beyond the shadow. Even though the shadow of death, as real as it is, will be overcome. I found this picture as these thoughts, you know, you get thoughts and they start to develop and you look for things, and I found this picture, and I find it a fascinating one. Well, it'll come next, actually. Difficult days, because this relates to the shadow of death. Even though I walked through, nobody mentioned this one. You know, did you not know Psalm 23? Yeah. Even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That doesn't necessarily just mean death, but what's the shadow of death? Anybody here find you face difficulties every now and then? That's a shadow. In relationships, in work, in illness, and all kinds of shadows. And it's almost as if those things are painful and they hurt, and they do. And we probably all could talk about them this morning. But he says there wonderfully, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now David, who as we know wrote that psalm, but he would also speak of someone who was yet to come. And we read, this picture that I'm going to show you relates to that shadow. So we think of the shadow of the cross. Fascinating picture. I don't know who the artist is. I found it. But can you see some shadows on there? What's the shadow you see there? This is very poignant. The cross on the floor. What then does this picture depict? It depicts a father with a son. Which father, which son? Joseph and Jesus. Yeah, there's the shadow. That is I think it's a powerful picture. But actually, that's one shadow. But there are several other shadows in there, if we begin to take this metaphor, if you like. Can you see any other shadows?
Nails.
The nails. How many nails? Why three nails? That were going to pierce his hands and pierce his feet. I really was moved by this. There's a shadow of the cross. Does that little boy know? He's living in the shadow of the cross. What else do you see? The Bible shadow. What's, quote, his father holding? What would they use to knock those nails into his hands and feet? A hammer. And there's one other that I thought about as I looked at that picture. What's on the face of that father? Does he know?
No.
Did Joseph know? Well, in one sense the Bible doesn't tell us, because we know Mary. He himself must have died before Jesus was very old, as far as we know. But I see a picture there of a man's face who says, I know what's going to happen. Does the little boy know yet? We don't know that. But he certainly knew by the time he was 12. For when he went into the temple, he has some very Amazing question, surely. I must be about my Father's business. So it's an amazing thing. Let me then come to Psalm 91. Have you experienced God's protection in your life? Even when things aren't easy. Even when things are very difficult. He's promised. Hasn't he? God does not necessarily take everything away that is difficult. And therefore, the danger is we say, well, God surely is unfair with me. He could protect me. What about all this suffering in the world? And a lot of people ask those questions. He promises in the midst of it, as we see in the life of Jesus, to be just what we need. That song, I Will Trust Him. And I find that a challenge, to trust Him. Maybe a couple other people feel a little bit that way sometimes. Well, God protects, and that is Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest. Notice that, rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And if there's a shadow of the Almighty, then he must be a real one, mustn't there? Well, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who assail me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. Same psalm. And then, shadows of Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 17, and Hebrews chapter 5. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Ah. And that's where you find in this remarkable book of Hebrews an explanation of something that I think we tend to forget. And we leave relegated to the past. And I would maintain you look back to look forward. There's a words of a song I'll just put up briefly. And even this morning, as we've sung some of the songs we have, there are words in there that would make no sense unless we go back first. Lamb? What? You think people coming in here and sing that song who know nothing about God, and they read about a lamb, they say, well, it's always lambing time. A lamb slain before the... Well, that doesn't make sense, does it? We have to think clearly and carefully in our communication of truth to people who have no idea. Have you been washed with the blood of the lamb? You talk to somebody about that and look at you and say, sorry? That's why you look back, to look forward. And I must say that I believe I've neglected looking back enough to look forward. And then it begins to make sense. As you look back, to look forward. That seems a contradiction of terms. But when we read, and I suggest we do go back, we read actually something from Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 2 with me. You have your Bible there. Colossians chapter 2. And reading from verse 13 to get context. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature. And then somebody say, uncircumcision? What is all that about? What do you have to do? You have to go back to look forward. Paul talks about circumcision a lot. And then he'll say, circumcision and uncircumcision are worth nothing. But you have to look back, to look forward, because he's talking about something that is very real in our own lives. So we read on. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers of authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are what? A shadow. They're a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Is it wrong to look at the shadows? No, it's a beautiful thing. Because the shadow will make you look where? To the real. Tragically, when we read some of these portions of Scripture, the people who, at the time to whom Paul and others were writing, were living in the... staying with the shadows. He says, come on. If there's a shadow, there's something real. But understand the shadows. And I believe as Christians, we've failed to do something about that. Look back enough to find out, enough to look forward. How many of you can't wait to get the book of Ezekiel each day in your Bible reading? It's such a... Well, what should we say about Leviticus? A burden. Yeah. Anybody know any quotes from the book of Leviticus? It's not returned to a lot, is it? What is one thing we should know from the book of Leviticus? Life is in the blood. But we probably can't quote where it's from. Because we've failed to look back, to look forward. So I find it a real lesson. Challenge me. Well, we could go to other verses such as Hebrews chapter 8. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. Who serves at what sanctuary that's a copy and shadow of what's heaven? Hey, if I want to know the reality of Christ and the reality of heaven, I need to look back to find out how God began to communicate. He communicated through people, through all kinds of situations, did he not? I need to look back to find out what they were. And it will turn me to look more adequately and more completely at the Lord Jesus Christ. A lamb? Oh, that has something to do with them coming out of Passover. Passover. Oh, Passover lamb. Well, that's right. Because what does God do? God reveals himself progressively. So we can understand. The Bible is a fantastic record. Not of all history. We have to come... Well, it's all right now. We've got the kind of equipment to put on. But what kind of book... could have been 100 years ago. How huge. We couldn't fill this room with the books of all history. God said, read this, and history will make sense. Amazing. The law is only a shadow of good things that are coming, not the realities. And there's a nation today, they look at the shadows. I was on a plane recently, and a couple got on with their son. He was wearing a black cap, black jacket and a shawl, and there were tassels on the shawl. Where was he from? Israel. What was he living with? Was it bad what he had on? No. He was clearly proud of the fact that he belonged to a nation who were under, quote, Jehovah. But who did he not recognize? Yeah. And that, do you think God's hurt? Does he feel the pain of that? Yes, he does. What did Paul say in the book of Romans? Oh, if only I could be cursed that my people would... There he said. They're living in the shadows. And you know it's possible for us to live in the shadows? We come to church. Make sure we pray. Make sure we read the Bible. For what reason? Because we don't want the shadows. But the format can become a ritual. Even here. Yes? We have to be careful. Because surely we want the reality. Well, let me move on. Recognize that? What a funny thing it was to us, but very real to a people then. You go back to the book of Exodus, Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and read these passages. God bringing a people out of a land called Egypt and saying, you've got to sacrifice a lamb. We go back and we look forward and say, wow. And we look at that, and what is it? It's a shadow. That's what Hebrews refers to. We could probably spend a long time for the rest of the day, couldn't we, looking at some other things. We won't, because you probably want to go home for lunch sometime. And I wouldn't mind a bite either, or a cup of tea. Look, what's that? What do we call it? Do we know that what is quite a small thing, really, the tabernacle, made out of what came out of Egypt, amazingly, silver, gold, all kinds of cloth and linen and coverings. There's a, you go from one part into the holy place and then there's a big curtain. And that big curtain, apparently quite thick, was a barrier. A barrier to get where? To the very presence of God. Only allowed once a year. And who was it who went there? High priest. When did they do that? Anybody know when? Day of Atonement. Where do we find written about the Day of Atonement? Guess which book? Oh no, Leviticus. Yeah, you've got to go to Leviticus. Chapter 16. What did the high priest have to do? Yeah, I mean, it was an ox and goats. I mean, this is ludicrous to the average person. A goat you send out in the wilderness. Oh, what a picture. Taking what? Sin. A goat. Sacrifice. He took fingers, dipped them in the blood, and put them onto the what seat? The mercy seat. Where God would be. The presence of God. A holy God. Who said, you cannot come and see me. Unless you come my way. Shadows? Yeah, they're real shadows. But they tell us something about who? The reality of God. That mercy seat with those cherubim things on. Cherubim? If you ask somebody on the street what a cherubim is, they'd say, well, yeah, it's a little baby kind of thing, cherub. Hey, that's not what this is. Inside this box, made of what kind of wood? Acacia wood. The mercy seat being on the top, inside that lid were three things, and we read about today. What three things are in there? What is that stuff? That's what they said. What is it? That's what the word manna means. What is it? And in a pot was manna. And they put it in the mercy seat. I mean, they put it in the box. Raiders of the Lost Ark and all that kind of thing. You know something? That's possibly, most people know about the Raiders of the Lost Ark, don't they? Because they watch the movie. You can tell them about the real ark. Isn't that a means of communication? Absolutely. So this is, there's manna in there. What on earth does manna speak of? It's a shadow. Of who? John chapter 6, Jesus said, unless you eat my I'm the bread of life. He's the sustainer. And they were to enjoy the presence. For we know that the shadow of that ark is the presence of God, carried with them. And he would appear on the mercy seat. What else was in there? Yeah. It's a funny looking staff, but not people who work for him. I don't mean that kind of staff. We mean a piece of wood. What kind of wood? Yeah. What was the tree?
Almond.
It blossomed. A dead tree. Piece of wood. Oh, life. Does that say anything to us? Eternal life. And eternal life is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, comes back from the dead. The presence of God. He's eternal. He's the sustainer of life. He's the giver of life. What else was in there?
Tablets.
Tablets, yeah. We know about tablets, don't we, most of us? But what kind of tablets are these? Not the first set of tablets, because they were broken. For we know that man did what? He sinned, broke the law. But there's one person who never, ever broke the law. Yet he was tempted in every way like we are, without sin. What's his name?
Jesus.
And God has never sinned. His presence. That's why he's holy. We just can't come anyway. That's what he's teaching. So we go back to look forward and say, yeah, look at that. Look at the things that happened through history because of man's sin. And one was going to come, which these things shadowed, that was the reality of God. We haven't looked back enough to look forward. But don't stay back there. As Paul said in Colossians, well, what did he say? These are the shadow of the substance of Christ. And we sit here privileged. Aren't you glad we don't have to go to the tabernacle, the temple, and sacrifice this morning?
Oh, yes.
Because Christ is our life. Shadows of the cross. Not a cross with a figure on it. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. A bit of hallelujahs on that one? The living Lord Jesus. So I've been chastised by what I've said this morning. Why? Because I haven't looked back enough. The Old Testament is an amazing book. What does it say in 2 Timothy 3? 15 and 16. All scripture is inspired. Before that, what is it that Paul said to Timothy? We know that one, but just before. Yes? Yes? Let me read it to you. Because what scripture did Paul have? What scripture did Timothy have? What did his mother and his grandmother have? The scriptures. Which one? Book of Romans? No. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Everyone, says verse 12, who wants to be godly life in Jesus Christ will be perfect persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go. Will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and know from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Do you think we should read the Old Testament? Yes, because they make us wise for the salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. Now, you know this. I'm not telling you anything new. Maybe I'm speaking to myself this morning. But the reality is found in Christ. The living Lord Jesus Christ, who ascended. He's acting on our behalf this morning as the priest who alone could enter and has stopped the sacrificial system because it's not necessary anymore. With the blood, not of animals, bulls and goats, but of his own blood, he touched the mercy seat. With his own blood, he's accepted. And through that blood, for life is in the blood, we've come to life through him, by his Spirit. So, you'll know this, it's an old song, isn't it? Within the veil I now would come. What on earth does that mean to the average person today? If you're singing it, we would sing moved by it, because we know what it means, because we look back to look forward. For in Matthew it tells us, when he died on the cross, what happened? The veil was torn open, and he entered the holy place that's in heaven, of which this is a shadow. Oh, amazing. Isn't it amazing? I worship you, my Lord, where? Within the veil. We have access to a holy God. No longer do we face the potential of judgment in the wrong sense. Judgment we face. The shadow of the reality. What do you want this morning? What do we want? The reality. Then let's look back a bit more to look forward. Because that's your choice. It's my choice. Would you rather be given a flower, ladies, or a shadow? Or any of us? The beauty of the rose. And even that's mentioned in the Bible, isn't it? Old Testament. What kind of rose? Rose of Sharon. What does that mean? Shadows. Hey, have we got a lot to be thankful for today? Yes. And the people who are desperate, who don't know. And we have the reality. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We can look at this and we are overwhelmed with all that it says. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have fulfilled everything that was spoken of in the Old Testament. You have fulfilled all that Moses talked about. You've fulfilled all that Moses with the children of Israel built. And the anticipation of your coming and your king. And we live 2,000 years hence and can live in the good of all that you've accomplished. We rejoice this morning in your great love for us, your great patience, your wonderful grace and your mercy. We pray we may be those who are available to your purposes to share the very life that you alone can give. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.